You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've been following this thing in Arkansas ever since we first heard about it. And have some good news to report to you tonight. The Arkansas Constitutional Amendment election was today. Now, we didn't know that when we heard about it on the air, when the gentleman called in. We began checking up on it immediately, and we also have some of our people in other states following this, who, by the way, just did it of their own accord. But the election was today, and the report is that 85% of the precincts reporting, or 85% of the precincts have reported, that the proposal for the Arkansas Constitutional Amendment has been rejected by 79% of the voters. Now, don't you think that's extremely encouraging? I do. I think it's fantastic. 85% of the precincts that have reported report that the proposal has been rejected by 79% of the voters. Looks like Americans are finally getting on track. I think it's incredible. Also have a message that was sent to me by Daniel New, Michael New's father, and I want to read it to all of you. Remember, this is from Daniel D. New. That's Michael New's father. For those of you who may be just new listeners or may not know what I'm talking about, Michael New is a United States Army medic who has refused to wear the United Nations uniform or be deployed under the command of a United Nations officer or United Nations command. He is going to be court-martialed, I believe, beginning sometime this week. The court-martial will begin, I believe it's Thursday, and he will probably lose this initial confrontation in this court-martial. And that has to be that way because the authorities have to exert their policy, which is that there's going to be a new world order, that United States troops are going to fight under United Nations command, and they're going to function as the United Nations are what will be called the world police force, if you will. So from there, it will be appealed. It will go initially to a military court of appeals, or the military appeals tribunal is really what it is. And from there, it will go to a federal court, and then from there to the United States Supreme Court, provided that every step of the way they can find legal and lawful means to effect an appeal to the higher court. So anyway, that's the strategy. So, I'm going to read you verbatim now the message sent to me by Daniel New, Michael New's father. He says, Specialist Michael New took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. He did not take an oath to the United Nations. To force him to serve the United Nations is both a breach of contract and a violation of the 13th Amendment, which prohibits involuntary servitude. Several constitutional lawyers are now working pro bono to take this case to the Supreme Court, if necessary, because they are convinced that Specialist New is right. The government is wrong. Michael New is not alone in the courtroom. I also, ladies and gentlemen, am convinced that Michael New is right, 100% right. And I continue. The U.S. Army has held firmly to the exact same position as Specialist New until mid-1993, when the current administration forced them to make the United Nations insignia involuntary. This action had no basis in law, but what officer is willing to sacrifice his career for such a puny thing as principle? Well, I could answer that, folks. Every single officer that swore to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America and obey legal and lawful orders should have been willing to sacrifice his career for such a puny thing as principle. That's who. I continue. They have all seen men and careers destroyed for standing up ever since General MacArthur. The Army is violating the Army regulations governing the wearing of insignia in issuing this order, and they cannot win in court. Not only are the insignia and headgear not authorized, they are prohibited by Army regulations. Specialist Michael New is in line with Army regulations, and it is the brass themselves who have issued an unauthorized uniform. Depending on the unit, 75 to 95% of the active duty personnel agree with Michael New, but most are afraid to say so publicly. A notable exception is First Sergeant Edward Resser, Special Forces Medic with 82nd Airborne Division, Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Sergeant Resser has spoken publicly about the illegal orders to augment the battle dress uniform, the illegal orders to deploy under a foreign general, in this case from Finland, and the illegal orders to force any American to serve in a United Nations mission of any sort. There is no basis for it in law. Many active duty officers and enlisted men and reservists have contacted us, telling us that if he loses this case and goes to prison, they will resign their commissions or refuse to reenlist, etc. So Michael is no longer alone in the ranks. And Daniel New, I have to tell you this, talk is cheap. You can listen to these guys brag about how they're going to resign their commissions and not reenlist or refuse to reenlist, but you're not going to know if that's true until they really do it. So don't listen to that. If they really meant what they said, they'd be standing alongside Michael New, risking court-martial for what they believe is right. So this is just a bunch of BS talk, and don't buy into it. Because the truth is, when it comes time to do it, most of them won't. They'll reenlist, and they won't resign their commissions. A very few brave souls might. And I continue. The Army says the President has told them they do have the authority because he gave it to them in Presidential Decision Directive 25. PDD 25 is the infamous document whereby President Clinton has authorized President Clinton to ignore Congress and the Constitution and deploy any troops anywhere under the United Nations. But to make sure you and I don't complain, he has classified the document, releasing only a brief summary. Your congressman is not even allowed to read PDD 25, yet this is the so-called authority. And that means, ladies and gentlemen, if congressmen are not allowed to read PDD 25, then that means, number one, it's classified above their level of security clearance, which must be top secret or compartmentalized top secret or maybe even a Q clearance. And the president has made the determination that Congress does not have the need to know. Ay, Chihuahua. I continue. Specialist News attorneys have filed for discovery, which means they have demanded to see PDD 25. If the government won't produce it, then they can't prosecute under it. So the government is on the horns of a dilemma here. If they do produce it, some Americans and some congressmen are going to have some very hard questions put to the White House. Has the Constitution been suspended by President Clinton? If so, we all need to know. There are two legitimate ways of looking at this question. Those who view it simply as a matter of obeying orders contend that New is wrong. Those who are able to see the constitutional implications understand that all orders are subject to law, and Specialist New is on firm legal principle. Over 60 U.S. representatives and senators agree with New already in writing, so he is not standing alone in Congress. Those who are supporting Michael in his stand may write to him or send Christmas cards in care of his attorneys at Michael New Defense Fund. That's Michael New Defense Fund, P.O. Box 1136I. That's P.O. Box 1136I. Crestwood, Kentucky. Crestwood, Kentucky. 40014. That's 40014. One more time for those of you who are slow. And remember, you should never, ever listen to this broadcast without paper and pencil. And sometimes a lot of paper and two pencils. Michael New Defense Fund, P.O. Box 1136I. Crestwood, Kentucky, 40014. Now, he's not going to answer every letter, folks, but he will eventually read them all, I can guarantee you. If he gets mail like I get, he couldn't possibly even begin to answer any of them. Those who will agree that it's wrong, but would go anyway because I need the money, are reduced to mercenaries. If the United Nations requires mercenaries to enforce it, peace through terror, which has always accompanied its illegal wars, then I encourage them to open United Nations recruiting offices in every major city. Then those who want to be mercenaries can join and die for that glorious blue and white banner under which 114,000 too many Americans have already died. How many of you knew that? There will undoubtedly be plenty to join for the money, but at least then Americans won't be forced to serve against their conscience. I can assure you that Michael New is not afraid of deploying to a war zone. First of all, he's 22 years old, and therefore in his own mind, he's invincible. And every man who's ever lived knows about that. When you're 22, nothing can hurt you. Second, he was looking forward to the assignment in Macedonia until he learned about the illegal change in uniforms. Now think about it. Which course requires the most intestinal fortitude? To go along with the army and go when you think it's wrong, or to tell the army that they are wrong and that you will go to prison before you will violate your oath to your country? Those who know Michael know that he is not a coward. Those who have read his service record know he is a good soldier with an impeccable record, commended over and over for meritorious service and written up by sergeants for taking the initiative to do more than is required of him. Personal attacks are usually employed by those who cannot figure out a way to attack principles. Oh, and boy, do I know about that. Can't discuss the facts. You attack the character of the man who holds the facts. And that's beginning to happen to Michael New now. America, whether the current generation likes it or even knows it, was founded by Christians who wove their belief system into our system of government. Well, I'm glad that somebody finally knows how this government was formed, by who, and that it's not a Christian government, but the Christian belief system was woven into the government by those who served in the government and by Americans who were Christians. And that's the truth of the matter that I've been telling you for years on this broadcast, and apparently Daniel New and Michael New know that also. Concept of a government going to church on Sunday is beyond my imagination anyway. And I've never seen the Capitol building stop to take communion. Oh, boy. The battles we fight against the ridiculous concepts that people formulate to further their agendas that don't even need all that backup is beyond my understanding. I continue. The Constitution and all other founding documents are based upon a solid belief that all rights come from a divine creator, and as such are unalienable. They wanted to break the throttle of tyranny from a worldwide empire which refused to acknowledge their God-given rights. They wanted to set up a nation that would protect their children and keep their freedom intact forever, avoiding entangling alliances. The United Nations Charter was written by a collection of humanists, socialists, Darwinians, utopians, and Marxists, atheists to a man, who all believe that rights are granted by government and therefore can be taken back by government. They wanted to establish a one-world government to replace all national governments, and this is no conspiracy theory. It's all through their books and speeches. It is today a public policy of agenda of Bill and Hillary Clinton as well. It was the conclusion of Specialist New that no one who understands the nature of these two mutually exclusive systems can possibly serve both. One must choose which government he wants to serve and go with it. Most soldiers have never thought about it, but now that the topic is raised, many are having second thoughts. Specialist Michael New chose America. He chose the Constitution for the United States of America. If that's a crime, make the most of it. Real Americans don't wear United Nations blue. Michael New was homeschooled, and now you know why the New World Order hates homeschooling. We're going to take calls tonight, folks, but I want to hear only. Listen to me carefully, because if you call and you don't want to talk about this subject, then I'm just going to hang up on you. Now, understand that. Don't call and say you want to talk about something else. We're not going to. I want to talk only to those people who have received their sets of the five tapes of the training lecture by Michelle Moore at the last Intelligence Service seminar conducted in St. John's. The number is 520-337-2878. I would like for those of you who have received your sets, and you should have received them by now. They were sent, over a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, by UPS. So I want to hear from those of you who have received your five-tape set, which is approximately, I believe it's about 9 hours, 9.5 hours, something like that, training lecture by our station chief in Oklahoma City, and she used the Oklahoma bombing as an example for that training lecture on how investigations are conducted, what effect it has on your family and you, what tools you need to do the job, relationships with other people that you're working with, all of these kinds of things. Now, if you ordered it and didn't get it, maybe you better call also, because you should have received it by now. So, anybody listening who has received their 5-tape set of the training lecture by our Oklahoma Station Chief, Michelle Moore, I'd like to hear from you right now. I want to know what you think of it. I want to know if it's helped you. We're thinking of doing a series of these types of video presentations, only not so long and not as expensive and more professionally produced. So if you have received your 5-tape set, call now, 520-337-2878. That's 520-337-2878. And in the meantime, I'm going to tell you about another book that we've got here that I'm going to be talking about probably in the next few days. The phone is not ringing, so either you didn't get your tapes or else you're afraid to call. I don't know which it is, but whatever it is, I need to know. If you didn't get your tapes, we need to know that. If you did get your tapes, I need you to call. And while we're waiting for somebody to get up enough nerve to call, let me talk about this book. This is, it's not an incredible book, because I've known about this for a long time and have been telling you about it for a long time, been teaching you about it. But I believe it is an important book. It's called Man-Made UFOs, 1944 to 1994, 50 Years of Suppression. It's written by Renato Vesco and David Hatcher Childress. And it covers the development of the UFO or disc-type technology in Germany during World War II, right up to the present time. It is about 420 pages long, and beginning either sometime this week or next week, I'm going to read you some sections of this book, and we're going to offer this book for sale for $25 postpaid, delivered by UPS to your door. It's got a fantastic array of photographs and history and facts. It's not like most of these ufology books that you buy that make all kinds of assertions and generalities and profess to have some kind of proof, which they never have. This is full of facts, history, documentation, photographs, proof, quotes, you name it. This book has it. And it will open your eyes to the truth of UFOs more than anything that you've ever read or seen in your entire life. And as I said, either some night this week or beginning next week, I'm going to read you some excerpts from that book. It's 420 pages long. It's $25 post-paid. If you'd like to get a jump on everybody else and order your copy now, you can make your check or money order payable to Annie, A-N-N-I-E. Send it to the Intelligence Service, P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona, 85901. Let's make check or money order payable to Annie, A-N-N-I-E. Send them to the Intelligence Service, Post Office Box 1420, Sholo, spelled exactly as it sounds, Arizona, 85901. The name of the book is Man-Made UFOs, 1944 to 1994, 50 Years of Suppression, by Renato Vesco and David Hatcher Childress. Let me see here. What am I doing? Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Bill.
Yes.
Yes, I had received the tapes. I have no idea why no one else might be calling. And in fact, mine were even sent to a P.O. box, so certainly by UPS to a home address should have been there.
Yours was sent UPS to a P.O. box?
No, mine was sent to a P.O. box, but I'm certain that UPS to a home address is much more efficient.
Oh, it should have received, they should have arrived by now.
Yeah, I would think so. The tapes, So far, so good. I've only seen the first three. One thing I do have a question about is, and it may clear it up later on, but it doesn't quite clear up the difference between CAGI and the intelligence service, or is it one and the same? And it doesn't give instructions as to a person's involvement in it. To what extent are you involved? Is that entirely up to some orders you receive, or is that entirely up to the person? And what type of things do we sign to be involved? And I've wondered about this ever since I received the first pamphlet that mentioned things like, station chiefs, and that you report to someone, and it's a network, and you know, things like press passes. All of this stuff was rather confusing, and the tape's great, but none of those questions were hit home so far.
Well, that's because the lecture was not directed at the general public. The lecture was given to members of the intelligence service and CAGI who attended the seminar. They knew all that stuff.
Well, that makes perfect sense then. But do you think, for the sake of people like myself, who order to see not only how to investigate, but how to investigate as a CAGI member and would consider as being a CAGI or IS member, what's the difference? What is involved? Besides her being very dedicated and excited about what she does, and what it boils down to all her research is, it's hard work, and more hard work is what it really boils down to.
Yes, it is. We don't promise you any benefits. We don't promise you anything with a membership. What we promise you is we're going to put you to work to help save this nation, to help collect information, to disseminate to the people at large through this broadcast, through our newspaper, through private intelligence reports that go out to certain leaders across the country, and to congressmen and the judges and other people to help educate these people as to what the truth really is. Sometimes it is hard work. If you were to talk to the people who have been intimately involved with the investigation into the bombing of the Muir Federal Building in Oklahoma City, you would find out that they probably worked just as hard on that for nothing. And when I say nothing, I mean in the way of remuneration or reward. Most people, for all eternity, will probably never even know most of their names. Some of their names will emerge, and some already have. And usually it's their own choice. And sometimes it depends upon their involvement and what they produce from that investigation also. So they're not rewarded in that way. They are rewarded in the knowledge and the satisfaction that they are helping to preserve liberty for all Americans, and that they are doing a job that is just as important as any person who has ever put on a uniform to go off and fight for liberty, who have been wounded or died for liberty. And some of our people have suffered tremendous consequences of their participation. We are in a war. We are engaged in a war. If we lose this war, the implications are terrible, are tremendously I'm at a loss for words as to how to describe it. It's beyond your comprehension as Americans to understand the depths of the enslavement to which we will sink if we lose this war to preserve our liberties. And make no mistake about it, all of us who work in CAGI and in the intelligence service, we have no opposition to a world government if the world government would guarantee that our individual creator-endowed rights would be protected and maintained and not destroyed. We are not loyal to borders. We are loyal to principles and ideals. We are loyal to the concept of individual liberty with responsibility. CAGI is a civilian intelligence gathering news service, which is not, the members are not under oath. That membership is closed at the present time because we have the number of members that we need. The intelligence service is an intelligence gathering arm of the Second Continental Army of the Republic militia. To be a member of the intelligence service, you must pay $100 and you must execute an oath of allegiance to the Constitution of your state and to the Constitution for the United States of America, and you must execute that oath to obey all legal and lawful orders of the officers appointed over you, which in most cases will mainly come from your station chief. You will be assigned to a station chief who will train you and give you assignments to carry out, research projects, intelligence operations. You will collect information. Sometimes you will be assigned to analyze that information or analyze other information. But all the information will be funneled to your station chief, who will compile it and document it and make a personal analysis and then forward that information to the director of the intelligence service. And that information then goes through another compilation, documentation, and analysis, and a check to confirm. Who can use it in the fight to preserve the liberty, the freedoms, and the rights of all Americans, regardless of race, religion, or ancestral origin.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the rewards are obviously intrinsic because Kathy is very excited about what she's doing, and
okay.
All her information is good. And it's also real interesting how the very methodical, and I would imagine that's not to a flaw, because when you see it, it's obvious in the research that has to be done. It has to be done that way. So in the case of it needing to be re-researched, one can follow the same method as opposed to just being scattered, which a lot of people research that way, just kind of like a scattered mess. But I found her very easy to respect, her research and her information. My only question would be, specifically regarding the intelligence service, if I was to sign the oath and to pass any kind of background check, how soon would I be contacted?
It depends, number one, on the promptness of your response, our ability to carry out a background check swiftly. With some people, it sometimes takes months just to perform the background check. When the background check is finished, then you receive your membership package and your paperwork, and you are connected to your station chief, who will then determine what your abilities and interests are and try to assign you to projects that you will be happy with. We don't assign people projects that they won't be happy with unless it's absolutely necessary. And as long as the orders are legal and lawful, you have taken an oath that you will carry them out. And this is not a joke. This isn't the Boy Scouts. If you execute that oath, we fully expect you to honor and be bound by that oath.
Well, I'm certainly going to join. I have an address change coming up in a few months. I hope that wouldn't change anything as long as I inform you. And because I've explained before that I'm living here in New York, biggest social experiment going, and what's happening here is coming everyone's way, whether they like it or not. Everything you've discussed on that show has originated in its original problematic form right here in some program that was designed to be featured in some level of a super state in which everyone cares so much that we'll just take care of everything. That being neither here nor there, I am dying to get in touch with people who use their heads, and that's why I'm excited about the intelligence service, why I'm excited about the tapes, because it's rare that you see that.
Well, if you
If you really paid attention to that tape, you know that we not only use our heads, we demand that everybody associated with us use their heads. We do not accept rumors. We do not deal with baloney, although we do not reject any information because we're always assembling two puzzles.
Yeah.
And our research is impeccable. Our people are the best that can be found. And you can see in the quality of the leadership of our Oklahoma Station Chief that this is not the normal patriot bullshit organization that floats around this country. We don't go out in the woods and march around with guns. We are not a combat-oriented organization. We are an intelligence-gathering unit, and that's what we do.
Well, like you said, information, not money.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Information, not money, is the power of the 90s. Those who possess it can wield that power. Those who are without it are powerless.
And, Bill, if I could, just before we go, I would I called once before and didn't have time. I'd like to give out a P.O. Box address so people can kind of pen pal me, because I can't speak with anyone here but my wife.
Well, I don't care if you do that, but if you do that, bear in mind that you're going to get mail from some of the idiots and nuts and wackos and racists that I get mail from.
Well, there's always some of that, but I'm hoping people like Scott from Long Island would write me, because I don't know anyone else like Scott on Long Island. That'd be a certainly an easy way to...
Yeah. Well, go ahead and give it out. Let me get some other people in here on this line.
My name is Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N. Last name is Rourke, R-O-R-K-E. Address is P.O. Box 99, Nesconset. The town is Nesconset. It's N-E-S-C-O-N-S-E-T, New York, 11767. P.O. Box 99, Nesconset, New York, 11767. Please, no fruitcakes, no religious wackos.
You can forget that. You'll get them no matter what you say.
Oh, please, don't anyone tell me how to live. All right, Bill.
Thanks for calling.
I've enjoyed the tape. I hope you do keep the series going.
Well, we're going to try. We want to, even if people don't join with us, they should know how to conduct research. They should know how to gather information. And we don't do anything illegal, which is why I can say all of these things over the air and why we can make these tapes available. We are gathering information, and we disseminate information. And it's probably one of the most damaging things that we can do to the enemies of the Constitution and of liberty. And yet there's not a thing they can say against us or about us.
Beautiful.
Thank you for calling.
Take care, Bill.
The number is 520-333-4578. I'd like to hear from some more people who have received their tapes. If there are any more people out there listening who have received their tapes, and if you have not received them, I would like to hear from you about that also. So if you received the 5-tape set of the training lecture by Michelle, our Oklahoma Station Chief, please call in right now, 520-333-4578. I think... first place, I want to know that people got them. And if you didn't get them, I want to know that also. And I want to know what you think about those tapes. We want to see if we're on the right track with this, if it's something that you can use. We want to do a series of these types of things to help people know what to do and how to do it and when to do it and all that kind of stuff. Bear in mind that those 5 tapes, that lecture, which, by the way, was really about 12 hours in length. And after editing out the breaks and, you know, the extraneous things that were talked about that really, you know, somebody raises their hand and talks, asks a question for 10 minutes, and the answer takes 10 minutes, has nothing to do with the subject of the lecture, those were cut out. Some things were cut out for security purposes to... protect some of the people who were there, who asked some questions that might have been considered politically incorrect, things like that. And it was edited down to 9 hours. And it was specifically aimed at people who are already members and have been members for quite some time, and in many cases years. And in those lectures, you see maybe the first two, a part of the first two rows of people. There were an awful lot of people there. And basically, the people you saw sitting in the front two rows were the youngest members who had no fear of seeing their face on camera. So, anyway. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Ron in San Jose.
Yes, Ron.
How you doing?
Good. Did you get your tapes?
Just last Thursday, I watched the first two of them. I was at the conference as well.
Uh-huh.
And I can tell you that the greatest value for me from them, having worked with emergency preparedness, is the planning, getting ready, getting involved before an event happens.
You know what? It's very difficult to hear you and understand you. Can you make sure that your mouth is directly in front of the telephone and talk a little louder?
I'll try and do that. Is that better?
That's much better.
Yeah, we've been at a power outage out here for about 24 hours. So I've got a little oil lantern in front of me.
Uh-huh.
And listening to you on my shortwave.
Well, tell us about the tapes. What do you think about them?
The tapes are really outstanding. They're a great value. I'm going through them and rewinding as necessary, making manual notes that I want to distribute to my colleagues in this area so they can use them to be prepared again, to know what to look for in advance of something happening.
That's right.
I think it's important that people know where key locations are in the area for governmental offices and so on, newspapers, radios, television stations. That they be just really prepared in advance of anything so that in the event something happens, they can be out there doing what needs to be done to get you the information you need.
Well, that's one of the things we've always discovered. Regardless of how often we tell our people to be ready for any emergency that may occur in their area, that we may have to call upon them to mobilize their resources to conduct an investigation immediately, we have always found that they have never been fully and properly prepared. And part of it's due to human nature that says, oh, well, it'll never happen to me. It's nothing like that's ever going to happen in my town. And Oklahoma City was one of those places where nobody in the world ever believed that anything like that would ever happen in Oklahoma City. So those people were caught with their pants down. And that's one of the things Michelle stressed in the lecture was that you've got to be ready because there's no such thing as it can't happen to me.
That's very true. I work for a Fortune 200 company out here in Silicon Valley. And we practice on a regular basis, both for bomb threats as well as the earthquake that may be coming.
Yeah.
And you have to be ready in advance to know what to do and know who's going to do what. You can't wait and get caught with your trousers down.
That's correct.
So I encourage anybody who hasn't gotten these tapes to get a hold of them and go over them, make personal notes, and get ready.
Is Michelle a good teacher?
She's super. She's just a remarkable individual. I met her at the conference, and she's very unassuming to look at her, but wow, she really knows her stuff.
She is powerful. She is not only a good intelligence operative, she is an excellent leader and station chief, and she's also a good friend.
Absolutely. She's just a great individual.
Well, I want to thank you for your input.
Thank you, Bill, and good luck. Continued success.
Thank you. Oh, one other thing I wanted to ask you. If you've only looked at two tapes, but from looking at those two tapes, if you were to change anything about the production of those tapes, and bear in mind that we had no plan when we made these tapes to offer them to the public whatsoever, but if you could change anything in the production of the tapes, what would it be?
I'll probably just do some more editing, and otherwise, what I'd like to do is follow up with something in writing to you, giving my overall recommendations once I've seen the whole thing.
Great. I'd love to have that.
And I'd like to see if they condensed down to maybe 4 or 5 hours, which I think, along with the manual,
would
accompany the whole set, then I think it'd be really useful.
Okay. That's a good idea. Okay, yeah, write me a letter.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Take care.
And thank you for calling. 520-333-4578, if you've received your tapes. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Bowman in Arkansas.
Hello.
For you tonight.
Good.
What's your topic?
Did you order the tapes? The five tape set?
No, I have not.
Are you listening to the radio?
Well, I've got real poor reception.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to have to hang up on you because I'm asking just people who received that five-tape training lecture that Michelle did at our last conference to call in.
Okay. I'll talk to you again, Bill. God bless you.
Thank you. 520-333-4578. If you have received your training lecture tape set, I would like to hear from you now. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
My name is Patrick Perry, and I received your tapes last Friday.
Uh-huh.
And I watched them all almost immediately. Watched them last Friday and last Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And I made got a little stencil pad here, and I made some notes, and I really liked them. The first thing I wrote was organization, you know. It kind of reminds me of a well-trained athlete, you know. Everything has its place. And then I made, you know, everyone's going to have to work together. So I wrote down a list of friends, you know. You can mobilize others with VCRs. Radios, cars, satellites, fax machines.
Scanners?
Yes, they're scanners. I noticed Michelle talked about hooking a scanner to a long play cassette recorder, and that sounded like a good idea. I thought, and she, Dave, and pardon here, I'm kind of in a hurry, but they spoke of going down to your local pawn shop. So you can, you know, because a lot of this stuff is going to cost a lot of money, so there's no reason that you have to have, you know, high fidelity on these recordings. You know, what we're after is information. So we might want to go after, you know, you can buy these cheap 120-minute audio cassettes.
Yeah, you don't need high fidelity, and you don't need the stereo, and you don't need all that kind of stuff. But you do need good medium that you record on. Don't record on junk.
Yes, sir. That's correct. And she spoke about, I'm going to write off to RCAL in California and get quite a few blank audio and videotapes because, you know, when the time comes, you know.
You'll be amazed at how quickly you run out of tapes.
That's correct. They spoke about having a 30, you know, single lens reflex 30-millimeter camera.
35.
Oh, excuse me. 35, sorry about that. And, you know, have one in the car, one that's, you know, cheaper, you know, as long as you don't, you know, let it get too hot or anything, I suppose. And keep one in the camera, one on the person. One thing I thought about was maybe making some sample affidavit forms on the computer, you know, so when an event happens, you know, people could put their, you know, their name, their address, and maybe some way of notarizing it.
Yeah, that's important, and most people don't understand it. We don't accept testimony from anyone unless they're willing to complete a written affidavit that will stand up as evidence in a court of law. People don't understand that when we put facts in our newspaper and we put out information over the air, we're doing it from a point of having substantial documentation behind what we use. And you have... You don't even have any concept of what we put in our intelligence reports that go to specific leaders across the nation who need that information. But it's documented, and it will stand up in any court of law.
Yes, sir. Well, that's right. That's correct. Well, right now, you know, I'm not a member of the intelligence service, although, you know, I have a high regard for it. You know, it's quite a commitment, and, you know, a person shouldn't just, you know, take that oath or any oath lightly. You know, they need to, if they're going to be doing something, you know, they need to be for sure, you know, and all. You know, I look back, you know, in past things. Well, for instance, you know, when you started Gannett, I kind of flip-flopped. You know, I didn't have my, you know, at first I wasn't for sure whether or not I wanted to support that. Now I think a person, you know, needs to get that straight before they make an action. You know, they need to be for sure that they're going to stand by what they're going to do before they...
Yeah, you have to decide what's important, what's worth fighting for, what's worth devoting your time and effort to, what's worth going to jail for, what's worth losing your reputation and your fortune for. For instance, the last line on the oath that must be executed by all members of the intelligence service is that they pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And you have to sit down and decide, what is my sacred honor?
Yes, sir. That's correct. And continue right along this list I made, I thought about, generally when you want to get information from the person, you have to give them your telephone number and address. I thought the person might want to get some business cards made, so you won't have to be writing that down a million times. I thought about having the capability to record off the your automobile audio off the AM and FM.
Excellent idea.
And you could, just, most radios have line outs in the back, and anyone with low confidence could hook that to a recorder.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about anticipating areas of action, people who do research, into criminal activities, try to get into the mind of, the criminal.
That's right.
And, and others, had an edge. You looked at what happened in New York, and you had an idea of how they were going to play out this Oklahoma City bombing.
That's right. Also, I want to ask you, did you notice on the tape during the part where we were running the news clips from the local media in Oklahoma City, which nobody else across the country ever saw?
Yes, sir.
Did you notice that one FBI agent, Bob Ricks, when he said that many, many witnesses downtown reported hearing two blasts?
Oh, yes, sir.
And, they all deny any of that. They deny that there were any witnesses, but he said it.
Well, that's another point down on my list here is that, and I hadn't really considered this, but your first, I never really understood I understand now what you're saying about your local, your local television stations, your local radio stations.
Yeah, because you didn't see any of that on the national news, did you?
Right. That's going to be more accurate than CNN, and eventually the big lie and what people know as the truth is going to converge, into what it's going to be indistinguishable, facts from fiction.
Yeah.
Eventually the story down the line is going to merge.
Right. Even the first reports on the local news in Oklahoma City reported two explosions.
That's correct. I've seen it. Also, I've seen Xerox copy from the Omniplex.
Uh-huh.
Seeing that at Veritas, which I'd recommend to anyone.
Yeah.
And I recommend that to English teachers also. So any of those English teachers that might be listening, or any other, teachers, I'd recommend that to their students. Go ahead and develop your film fast. I made that comment because, I guess, I don't remember if it was Dave that took the pictures. Michelle...
No. No, we had a CADGY photographer.
Okay.
Who did that.
Okay. And, of course, you want to go ahead and get that done because I remember once when I didn't get the leader, correctly into the take-up reel, and it took me a couple rows before I realized I was doing that wrong.
Well, there's another thing you need to do, too. You need to try to be able to process your own film or know someone who will process it for you, because a lot of film about important events, when taken to commercial film processing labs, disappear.
I didn't think about that's a good idea. I've known some local film developers, so I'll have to get in touch with them. It's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for calling. I want to try to get one more person in here before we sign off for the
evening. Hey, thank you, sir.
One more thing.
Yes,
sir. If you could make any changes in the production, what would it be?
Well, I've only watched it once, and... the only thing I really saw was I just kind of looked at the cinematography, the way it was filmed. I thought maybe you could if you got some halogen lighting and bounced it off a sheet,
mm-hmm.
you could take out some of that green maybe from the fluorescent light fixtures.
Yeah, we just had one camera placed in one spot, and the light fixtures were fluorescent.
And maybe a little bit closer, but that's just nitpicking. Right now, I'll probably write you a letter and. There might be a couple of things, but...
Okay, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you Bye. For calling. 520-333-4578. If you've received your 5-tape set of the training lecture by the Oklahoma City Station Chief, or I should say the Oklahoma Station Chief, we don't have an Oklahoma City Station Chief. By the way, the Oklahoma Station Chief really is the Station Chief for four states, ladies and gentlemen. Four states, not just Oklahoma. So besides conducting the investigation of the Oklahoma City bombing, she was also managing the intelligence operations in three other states simultaneously. Good evening. You're on the air.
So we're National Alliance.
Pardon?
Is this the Cooper Show?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you're screening for him?
No, we don't screen on this show.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yeah? Is he still taking calls?
You're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Cooper convinced me to subscribe to the Euro-American Quarterly and the Talon of the Euro-American Alliance. That's it.
Oh, it's another one of those racist bullshit bigots again. One of these nights we're going to do a complete show and dedicate it to these fools who think that somebody is forcing them to breed with somebody that they don't want to breed with. They are suffering, without any doubt, folks, of some kind of a sexual dysfunction. And they are the most dangerous people that I can imagine in this nation today, or in the world today. Good evening. You're on the air.
This is MCI with a collect call from...
Sorry, MCI. We don't take collect calls. Well, folks, that wraps it up. And don't forget to call Swiss America Trading. Tell them that you listen to the Hour of the Time. Thank them for sponsoring this broadcast. And tell them that you do not subscribe to the Euro-American Alliance or the National Racist Bigot Club. And ask them how you can get your hands on some real money. Good night, folks. And God bless you all.
This man will be
dreaming on your faces.